Welcome back to our final module in failover clustering with Windows Server 2012 R2. I'm Simon Perryman from Five9, joined again by Eldon from Microsoft. Now, we've covered a lot of content throughout the day, really kind of looked about building up the entire topology from the base up, looking at hardware, network, storage, scale out file servers, virtual machines. But now, if you're a big enterprise and you're trying to manage dozens of clusters, you really want to start thinking about introducing System Center. System Center is our data center management portfolio, allowing us to manage fabric, services, applications, do monitoring, backup, replication. And it really allows you to kind of have that single management point across this distributed solution. As Eldon mentioned earlier, just within Virtual Machine Manager, we can do everything from bare metal deployment to configuring virtual machines. So that's really everything throughout the stack, including every piece we talked about with scale out file servers, clusters, everything else. So again, large organization, many clusters, this is when you want to start thinking about using System Center. Now, what we're going to be basically looking at throughout this module is our integration points with failover clustering throughout the System Center suite. We're going to spend quite a few minutes looking at Virtual Machine Manager, which is our primary solution. And then after that, we're going to quickly take a look at all those other different types of System Center solutions as well. So let's kick it off by first doing a high-level overview of System Center, really trying to figure out where this fits in. Now, with System Center 2012 R2, we've made a major change in this release in that we now include every System Center component with your license. Back in the past, you would have to buy each product individually, and that really slowed down adoption. So we wanted to kind of embrace this concept of private cloud, deliver those key principles of pooled resources, automation, self-service, and constant monitoring. And we're now able to provide that end-to-end with the System Center suite. So let's take a look at how we really try to offer IT as a service for our different consumers of our data center resources. So we really like to think about two different parties here. We have our consumers of the IT resources, and then you guys, the infrastructure admins. What we're trying to encourage with the whole concept of private cloud is enabling people to be self-sufficient through different types of self-service portals. Rather than relying on the IT admin to create a new VM or add a new disk to a virtual machine, we want to offer a portal where people can go make those requests themselves. Now, behind that portal, we set up what we like to call a service model. Now, when you think about a self-service portal, the easiest way to draw a comparison would be like going to a restaurant where you go have a menu. There might be 8 options on the menu. Do you want a burger? But then you still get to go customize them. I want cheese with it. I want fries with it. And so you kind of want to think about building a service model in a similar way. You have a limited number of options, but you still allow customization within each of those options. So you allow people to enter their own custom parameters. What's the name of my virtual machine? How much memory do I have? You then take those different parameters, and then we go and inject them through various scripts or automation engines to actually go complete that task for our users. So in this case, we'll go and provision a virtual machine. We could provision it across multiple different clouds, Microsoft's public cloud through Microsoft Azure, your own private cloud, or even with a third-party service provider's cloud. But once we got that application or VM running, we want to make sure that we offer ongoing monitoring of it, not just for availability, but also for health, making sure that that VM stays healthy and it performs as expected. Now, across all of these different end-to-end solutions, this is where the System Center suites of products come in, between self-service, service delivery and automation, infrastructure provisioning, and monitoring. So let's talk about System Center high availability all up. And this is specifically high availability for System Center itself. So we're not yet talking about managing clusters, but you want to make sure that your management solution stays highly available. So for the different application servers, every single System Center component is supported to run inside a VM. And anytime we have a VM, we want to cluster it. So you're going to put Data Protection Manager inside a VM on a cluster, Ops Manager inside a VM on a cluster, so that these are highly available, and you can do things such as live migration. You want to make sure that you're constantly monitoring those System Center components through Operations Manager. Back up the database through Data Protection Manager, and wherever you can, have redundant servers for that higher availability. Now, System Center requires SQL Server 2012 or greater for all of its backend databases. And the SQL Server itself can be made highly available using SQL Server clustering. We again want to make sure we're protecting that database, backing it up, providing replication or using Data Protection Manager and monitoring it with our Operations Manager Management Pack so that that stays healthy too. Let's go take a look at Virtual Machine Manager in some more depth. Now, within Virtual Machine Manager, we have a lot of different features that are integrated with clustering, from creating the cluster and managing updates to supported third-party hypervisors and third-party clusters as well, including VMware clusters and Citrix Xen clusters. We could deploy VMs to clusters, we could create guest clusters, we could do all different types of migration, do regular management operations like maintenance mode, and there's a couple advanced features that I'm going to talk about on the later slides. Now, Virtual Machine Manager itself does one thing slightly differently than the rest of the system set components. That VMM server can run directly on top of a failover cluster, just like a VM, or just like a SQL database. This basically means that it has its own resource DLL. And if you kind of think back to the beginning, this is the component that tells us how do we bring it online, how do we take it offline, how do we check the health. So our best practice for Virtual Machine Manager, if you can, run it directly on the failover cluster. It's going to fail over faster, have faster recovery. If you can't run that directly on a cluster, go put it inside a VM on a cluster. So again, either are supported, but this is the one system setting component that we recommend, put in directly on the cluster. Now, Virtual Machine Manager also has a file server that we use for its library. This is where we store resources that we're going to use multiple times, such as virtual hard disks, scripts, different resource packages that we're going to deploy to our virtual machines. Now, this is a file server, so just like any other type of file server, we can actually cluster it to ensure that these resources are made highly available. And then, of course, the VMM database, we'll put that on some SQL Server clustering on the back end. So here's a little more information about the VMM server high availability here. Again, we want to make sure we place it directly on top of our failover cluster so we can protect against all different types of failures. Now, when we go and actually integrate a cluster within Virtual Machine Manager, we can do pretty much everything we can do through Failover Cluster Manager, from deploying the feature to actually creating a cluster, testing it, doing validation, adding disks, adding virtual machines to it. So we go and take a look at management for that cluster. We actually support down-level clusters as well. So you could support Windows Server 2008 R2, 2012 and 2012 R2 clusters. Once we've gone and added the cluster to Virtual Machine Manager, we can detect cluster changes. So let's say, for example, I'm managing everything through VMM, but for some reason I need to do some advanced configuration in Failover Cluster Manager. Well, VMM is constantly polling the original cluster and detecting changes. So when a change happens within the cluster, that change will then get reflected back up to Virtual Machine Manager. We also make sure that it supports all the new types of live migration. So storage live migration, share nothing live migration over SMB with RDMA, all of that is supported within VMM. We also wanted to make sure that Virtual Machine Manager was cluster aware. So there's a couple different options where we change nodes, power them up, power them down, but we always make sure that we honor the quorum settings and never do anything that's going to be disruptive and take down your entire cluster as well. As we look at bare metal provisioning, this is something that we find a lot of hosters do, or companies that are rapidly expanding their server infrastructure. We now give you the ability to literally take a pallet of brand new servers, plug in redundant power supplies, redundant internet connections, and from that point, we can go deploy the operating system and add that host into a cluster. So what we actually do is we go and connect the VMM to our storage, we go connect it to our networking resources, and then we go connect it to the bare metal server. Now, whenever you get a bare metal server, a new deployment, it has, I guess what's kind of called, it's like a mini operating system that's part of it, called the BMC, or the Baseboard Management Controller. It allows us to do some basic management tasks with that host, such as connect it to a deployment server, assign it an IP address. So we're actually speaking to that mini operating system, the BMC, to kind of get everything up and running. So we speak to that Baseboard Management Controller, and we tell it, go install the operating system. Go take it down from a Pixie server or a deployment server. Once that's installed, we can go join it to a domain, add different user roles, enable the Hyper-V feature, enable the failover clustering feature, create a cluster, connect it to the storage, connect it to the networking devices, and of course, validate the configuration. All of this now available through VMM. Another feature that a lot of people like to take advantage of is intelligent placement. This is where we go and assign different types of priority to different hosts so that it's easy for us to understand what host has the most free resources. Now, when we go take a look at intelligent placement, we can filter based on four metrics. Based on what's most important to you as the end user. Is it the most free CPU, free memory, disk I/O, or network utilization? Now, most people, they generally say they want to place things on the host with the most amount of free memory. But maybe you have a VM run in SQL, lots of disk I/O, and in this case, you may want to go and optimize for disk I/O. So you would say this is a higher priority. So as we go and deploy a new VM to the cluster, we analyze the different nodes, we find the host that has the most free disk I/O, and that's our preferred node to go and host that application. So a little while ago, Eldon was talking about failover cluster manager, we have the best possible node. Think of this as kind of like the advanced version of that. More granularity, more features. Another technology here, which is kind of similar to what's directly with Windows Server, is automated update management. Now, if you remember when we spoke about cluster management in one of the first modules, we talked about cluster-aware updating. This is essentially the same logic, where we will serially select a cluster, create baselines, speak to our update servers, and go one node at a time to go and patch through doing things like live migration. The biggest difference between these different types of solutions is within Virtual Machine Manager, it's only going to patch clusters that VMM can see. So it will patch your Hyper-V clusters, it will go and patch your file server clusters, it will patch any guest clusters you've created, but it's not going to go and patch a SQL cluster because VMM isn't managing that SQL cluster. So that's kind of one of the trade-offs. The other big trade-off is that's in favor of using this update management is this will actually go and patch any version of failover clustering that it supports. So Virtual Machine Manager will patch 2008 R2, 2012 and 2012 R2 clusters. On the other side, the inbox tool cluster aware updating, that's only 2012 and later. So which one do you use? It kind of depends on the scenario, what type of clusters you have, the age of them. But if you have a fully virtualized cluster environment, go take advantage of this one that's built inside Virtual Machine Manager. Another feature that we have within VMM that's cluster aware is dynamic optimization. Dynamic optimization is basic load balancing between the different hosts in a Hyper-V cluster. What we do is we essentially monitor different resources that you've actually selected with intelligent placement. So that memory, CPU, disk I/O, network I/O, we take a look at your prioritization, what you care about. And then based on these different knobs, you can say how frequently you want to go and evaluate the cluster and reload balance those VMs on it. And this is done based on the setting here that we call aggressiveness. Aggressiveness is how frequently you want to go and move these virtual machines around. If you say highly aggressive, we'll do it fast. If you say low aggressive, less frequently.
So one thing I like to think about it is when failover clustering, when we have a failure, so let's say a node crashes, clustering's goal is high availability. So it's going to make some very fast decisions to try to place VMs. So it's going to say it's going to take some very kind of basic heuristics and try to get those VMs up and running as fast as possible. VMM is actually making some far smarter decisions and taking many more heuristics into account. So I kind of like to view it as failover cluster makes the fast decision, failover, get those things up as running as possible. It will try to make some good decisions, but then VMM comes along 5 minutes later, evaluates better heuristics over time and actually then goes and rebalances and reshuffles and does live migrations and rebalances. So I really view this as one of the kind of key complementary features that you need out of VMM.
Great point. And using this feature, we can actually tie into another technology known as power optimization. With power optimization, we're actually able to look at host utilization. And if it drops below a certain threshold, for example, you might be kind of like a 9-to-5 business. Your servers are very active during working hours, very quiet, not during working hours. We'll go power them down. We'll put them in a deep sea sleep state. We'll make sure that quorum is maintained. We'll constantly monitor all the other resource utilization, keep them offline overnight. And when things start to get busy in the morning, more host utilization is used. We'll turn those servers back on, make sure that they get rebalanced with the cluster, do our load balancing through dynamic optimization, and basically help you save some money with some green IT initiatives. Turn off what we don't need. Now, there is a technology very similar to dynamic optimization known as PRO, or performance and resource optimization. So first of all, the big difference between the two is that dynamic optimization, what we previously talked about, only requires VMM, nothing else. Pro requires both VMM and Operations Manager. Now, at a higher level, it can essentially do the same thing. We can go monitor hosts. When they reach certain thresholds, Operations Manager detects the problem. It sends an alert to VMM. VMM looks at dynamic optimization. It load balances the hosts. Everybody's happy again. So why would you go and use this? Because there's obviously this extra dependency with Ops Manager. Well, key reason here is you can go and configure Pro to trigger on pretty much anything that Ops Manager can trigger on. So with dynamic optimization, remember we just had disk, network, CPU, and memory. With this, we can link into any Ops Manager alert. So for example, you might want to set an alert that says, if more than 10 users log on to a particular host, go rebalance. So you get a lot of granularity if you want to go use this additional configuration option. Now with a VMM as well, we make sure that we support multiple hypervisors. We support our Hyper-V clusters, our vSphere clusters, and our Citrix Xen clusters. Now, for the most part, we do all different types of day-to-day management tasks across these different clusters. You can do a vMotion or a Xen motion, create service templates across them. The things that you can't do are some very, I guess, advanced initial configuration things. So if you're trying to set up something like a distributed vSwitch for VMware, you're going to go do that through vCenter. But then day-to-day operations, you'll continue managing through VMM. Let me switch over to my demo and actually walk you through how this looks. Now, I'm actually going to be doing this on my guest cluster one more time. So again, everything's running on my Windows 8 client laptop. I've got my guest cluster up and running here. We see this in the background. And you saw me go and create this guest cluster a little earlier with Node 1 and with Node 2. Well, we've actually got VMM running on a different VM on this host. And what we're able to do here is we can see our library service. If we go take a look at our fabric, we can actually go and detect that these hosts have been turned into a cluster. So you now see in our UI, we're actually highlighting that we have a Hyper-V cluster here with our two nodes. Now, adding these is pretty straightforward. You could say, I just want a new Hyper-V host. We specify the computer in Active Directory. We give it the account that we want to go and make the request under, so our admin account. Then we go specify the computers by name. So if I wanted to go add this Hyper-V cluster, it will go query it, and it already has this cluster awareness built in. So it sees, hey, you've got this cluster. Here's the nodes within it. Now, since we've already added this cluster, we'll cancel out of this wizard, and we'll go back to the demo here. Now, if we go and take a look at the properties of some of this cluster here, we go get general information. This actually allows us to go and configure our number of reserve nodes. So it's kind of like looking at quorum, but it's basically toggling the quorum setting to make sure that I always have at least one node running. And so long as I have one node in my cluster, in this case, the cluster is going to stay online. As I take a look at the status, it gives me some overall health reports of this cluster. And notice this. I skipped cluster validation when I built this. It is telling me that I shouldn't be doing that. As we take a look at available storage, we detect that. Cluster shared volumes, we detect that. We take a look at SMB shares if I had any. And final thing I want to show you here is that we can go and change different cluster settings as well. So if we want to go and force our VMs to load balance across that, we can initiate a manual load balance. We can uncluster, add nodes, initiate testing. And I can even take a look at my networking topology here on the cluster. So with this topology view here, we actually will go and figure out what are the different networks everything's connected to, what are the different networking adapters to kind of just help you better visualize how this configuration has been built. Of course, deploying a virtual machine on top of this, it would be create a new virtual machine, enter the information. You'll then get prompted to go specify the host to place it on. And since we have a cluster, it will allow us to go place it on top of that cluster. So again, summary, want to think about Virtual Machine Manager as our centralized management point for all of our Hyper-V hosts and all of our clusters. All right, let's switch back to the presentation and quickly talk about App Controller. So App Controller is a self-service portal that has a full dependency on Virtual Machine Manager. Now, essentially, App Control is a web page. You go to that. It gets connected into Virtual Machine Manager. And through there, end users can go and provision to your VMM infrastructure. How does this work with clustering? Well, if you have a cluster, they could go deploy to that cluster. Now, the reality is, when we're using a self-service portal, we actually want to hide and abstract the underlying hardware. So we're going to go create a concept of what's called a cloud in Virtual Machine Manager. We might call this our high availability cloud. And as an end user, if I want my VM to always run, I'll go pick the friendly name. I'll pick the high availability cloud. This level of abstraction really kind of hides some of the more complicated aspects that end users may not know. What cluster do I use? What node do I use? What disk do I use? We're trying to hide that, make it simple for them so they can just become self-sufficient with their self-service requests. Now, one important consideration, don't create a new app controller deployment. App controller is being deprecated in the next version of System Center. So if you have it up and running, great. Don't make any new investments in that, as our self-service model is now moving to the Windows Azure Pack that we'll talk about at the end of the session. Next, we have Configuration Manager. Now, Configuration Manager has been traditionally used to secure and patch client operating systems, but it has full support for server and virtual machines. Now, most of the features here, they're not really designed or optimized for servers, but it still works. So if you're doing things such as software deployments, making sure that every cluster node has a particular hotfix or a particular security package or application, we can use Configuration Manager to push that out and secure it. Configuration Manager also has patching capabilities, but they are not cluster aware. So if you are doing cluster patching, use VMM or cluster aware updating so that we can do that live migration and reduce downtime. Configuration Manager also includes endpoint protection, which is basically our antivirus, anti-malware solution as part of System Center. Full support to go and query virtual machines, clusters, Hyper-V hosts, and make sure that those stay secure as well. For the actual Configuration Manager server, for any web-based interfaces, you would provide high availability for load balancing. And for the main server and all the different site roles, you would just go put them inside cluster VMs and make them redundant. Data Protection Manager is what we use for backup. Data Protection Manager does have cluster and Hyper-V awareness. We are able to actually backup, put things on cluster disks, backup cluster disks, backup hosts, backup virtual machines, backup different types of configuration files. We also have full support of taking a backup of a virtual machine as it's being live migrated. So if the VM's moving, we're still going to make sure that we capture that full application, do the full backup. DPM also gives us some other high availability features through replication and disaster recovery. We can actually backup to the cloud, Microsoft Azure, back up to a different data center, so giving you the ability to move your data off-site. As far as DPM itself, the server should be running inside a clustered VM, and its database will be backed up using SQL Server HA. Next, we have Operations Manager. Operations Manager is used for monitoring everything from the metal all the way to the application. And so as long as there's what's called a management pack, which is a set of rules that highlights interesting queries from event logs, from errors, applications, as long as we have one of those management packs, we could go and monitor your physical servers, your networks, your storage, your hypervisors, your virtual machines, and even applications running inside those virtual machines. So end-to-end protection and monitoring of everything. Now, we have management packs specifically for failover clustering. If you take a look at the screenshot here, you'll see kind of a high-level breakdown of some of the different areas that it monitors and looks at, taking advantage of resource groups, nodes, networks, the whole cluster itself, and the cluster service. There's also management packs for Virtual Machine Manager and all the other System Center components, so we can make sure that those stay healthy as well. Also, you may want to use Operations Manager for that technology known as ProTips. And one more time, ProTips is where we can go and create an alert, tell Virtual Machine Manager something needs to change, and Virtual Machine Manager will then use dynamic optimization to go and load balance. So Operations Manager, definitely a lot of good cluster integration. As far as high availability for the Ops Manager server itself, the management server can be placed in a highly available management group. So essentially, you have two or more servers. they can both be active-active. And basically, when you add a new management pack, one of them is going to be assigned the primary. So maybe node 1 goes and has half the management packs, does the analysis. Highly available SCOM server 2 will go take the other half. Now, there's not necessarily any rebalancing between them, so sometimes one of those particular management servers can get overloaded, but if a management server crashes, the second one will detect that, and different types of events, they will then move over to the second one. So it's not quite, I wouldn't say highly available, it's more of kind of a redundant configuration here. And of course, it's backend databases. It has two different databases. They can both be put on SQL HA. System Center Orchestrator is our automation engine. Now, Orchestrator is basically a graphics-based authoring tool that allows you to go and automate tasks. Now, what we're able to do is do automation on top of clusters and with virtual machines, but with one caveat. It has to be done through Virtual Machine Manager or through a PowerShell script. As of today, there is no integration pack, which is an add-on, specifically for Failover Cluster Manager. So this means that you cannot tell Failover Cluster Manager to directly do a task unless your task is go run a PowerShell script. And within that PowerShell script, you have PowerShell commands for clustering. So there's kind of, a level of indirection if you're trying to go automate the cluster directly. So our best practice and recommendation around here is go integrate with Virtual Machine Manager, and you can go do all different types of automation tasks. And you can even go tie together the different System Center components. So maybe, for example, someone goes through a self-service portal. They create a ticket that says, I want my VM to now be highly available. Well, we can take that information through self-service, put it inside our service model, go and process the parameters, say, what's the task? What's the name of the cluster? What's the name of the virtual machine? And we'll then go tell Virtual Machine Manager, go make that VM highly available, and it will go automate that, taking care of all of that backend configuration we need. The runbook servers themselves that go and execute these tasks, they can be placed in a redundant server group, so they're not highly available, but again, redundant. So if one of them crashes, a service can be picked up on a different one. You want to go run Orchestrator itself inside VMM. Orchestrator has a web console to allow end users to go kick off automation tasks and monitor the status. And that can be made highly available using network load balancing. And once again, SQL Database uses SQL HA. System Center Service Manager is our ITIL-based help desk solution. So just think of this being whatever you use as your current help desk. The competitive products that use ITIL, they'll take things such as service requests, incident requests, reports, change requests, and Service Manager uses this same concept. Now, reality is this is more of a IT management solution. It doesn't really do anything directly on a cluster, but there's no limitations around what it can't do on a cluster. So if you need to go create incident reports, change requests, things like that related to clustering, fully supported managing all of those requests through Service Manager. Now, for the server itself, we would run it inside a clustered virtual machine, and its self-service portal, which is web-based, we would put that behind a load balancer. As we move towards the end here, we have Azure Pack, formerly known as Windows Azure Pack. Now, Azure Pack is our newest investment towards self-service. It's a new web-based portal that allows people to go and plug in what we call a resource provider, which is essentially a RESTful endpoint that allows us to go and communicate with different systems. So for example, I could go to my WAP self-service portal. I can say provision a new VM. This resource provider might talk to Virtual Machine Manager, or it could talk to Hyper-V, or it could talk to Failover Cluster Manager, or it could talk to a VMware infrastructure if you have a third-party provider. It could talk to Microsoft Azure. So essentially, this is our investment in self-service. What we run on the back end is kind of irrelevant to the self-service portal. So integration with clustering on the back end, fully supported through VMM, or one of the other solutions. The website itself is made highly available through NLB using load balancing on the IIS web server. Everything can run inside a clustered VM, and the database, again, made highly available through SQL HA. Last but not least is a Azure technology. And a lot of people say, well, why are you talking about Azure here? Well, this actually used to be a System Center component known as System Center Advisor. A lot of what it did was actually running in Azure, so recently it got rebranded to Azure Operational Insights. Let's talk about Advisor Azure Operational Insights. So what this is a best practice analyzer that's actually running up in the cloud. What we're able to do with this is go and analyze your own data center, your event logs, your system configuration, your registry, and give you best practices that you're not following for higher availability. Now, the way this product actually came to be came through product support, the guys you speak to on the phone. They said, you know what? After so many incidents, we always see kind of the same type of problems. We have two server roles on the same host that shouldn't be there. For example, you put your domain controller on a Hyper-V host. No good. And what they're able to do is, with many of those misconfigurations, they can programmatically determine whether that configuration has happened or not based on your registry settings. So they'll scan the registry, they'll look at the list of roles, and if they find those mismatched roles, we'll go create a report, we will flag it for you. So this is really a troubleshooting tool, a best practice analyzer in the cloud. So why is it in the cloud? Why are we doing that processing up in Azure? Well, the reason why we do it there is we keep this database, this knowledge base, constantly up to date. We go collect the information on your local servers, we encrypt it, we can either send it up directly, or we can go hook through Operations Manager and send it up through Operations Manager, so integration through SCUM. We go do all the analysis up in the cloud because that's where we have those free resources, where we can collect those millions of log files, millions of registry key enters, and using Azure's own data analytics and data processing, go figure out what you need. So big advantage here is you don't need to go configure your own on-premise data warehouse anymore if you're doing log analytics or other types of analysis. Take advantage of the power of Azure. Let us do the analysis. Let us do the best practices. Let us help you optimize and make your data center even more highly available. We do some specific integration with failover clustering as well. Things around making sure our database availability groups for Exchange are online. We analyze Hyper-V hosts, including failover clusters to check for things like the cluster name object. We analyze our SQL servers and our SQL clusters. So again, really trying to offer you not just high availability with failover clustering, but high availability best practices for your entire data center and infrastructure. So right now, this is as of January 2015, this is in preview. Very shortly this will be made, general availability. Highly encourage you to check this out to save a lot of time on troubleshooting, incident, and problem managing throughout your whole data center. Now, as I wrap it up here, we're done. That was quite a power through of every system center component here. Woo, you take a break. And as we wrap up the course here, hopefully, what you got out of this was really an end-to-end understanding of all of the best practices around failover clustering, from configuring it and upgrading it, your storage and your network, optimizing it for virtualization, disaster recovery, advanced management, and then integrating directly within failover clustering. We want to, again, remind you of these recommended resources that we have, Cluster Team blog, and this is going to be maintained for all the next versions of Windows Server, so as new features start to be released, come check out the Cluster Team blog. They'll be talking about them, describing how to use them, so a great resource.
Already stuff there.
There is,
stuff
nice.
There to go look at.
Our TechNet site, this is going to be where we have our official source of information about previous and current versions. The Clustering Forum, again, that great place where you can go ask any questions, give feedback. Eldon himself is on there all the time.
Yeah, give me feedback. Tell me what you like, what you don't like, what you're having problems with. I want to hear about it.
I'm no longer on there because Eldon doesn't make me go on there anymore. He's no longer my boss, but you could go speak to Eldon on there. And of course, if you want to get some hands-on experience, check out these hands-on labs that we've made available. This exact infrastructure you saw me demo with, all of these different system center components, that's one of the labs that you will actually get to use as well. So you can go build, manage, run, and design these failover clusters. With that, I want to thank all of you for joining this course. It's been great to have you. Hopefully, we've learned a lot. I especially want to thank Eldon for coming here, spending a lot of time prepping and spending the day with us, really draining his brain. He is the cluster guru. So if you've heard that term used, cluster gurus, he's the guy that invented it because he is the guru. So Eldon, thanks again for having us on the show.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks for sharing everything. It's been great. We'll see you again on the MVA soon.